Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
From the Cadillac Club on this Thursday afternoon in New York City. The other thing that's very important, in my opinion, when you get to the halfway point of a baseball season, is now you're allowed to scoreboard watch. Now you're allowed to look at the standings and see what's going on. So I am here to give you the pennant race scoreboard. The Toronto Blue Jays, who are just a few games behind the Yankees, currently lead the Guardians 3-0.
And you know what happened in that game, Evan?
I do not. What happened in that game?
Not that you, obviously, we're not rooting for injuries. Vlad Guerrero Jr. was removed from the game, as was Jose Ramirez.
Wow.
Both were plunked in the game, both benches worn.
Really?
But both left the game.
And so both guys are hurt, potentially?
Potentially.
Wow. Well, we hope quick recovery for both guys. The Rays are leading the Royals 2-0, and the Phillies are losing to the Astros 1-0. If the Phillies lose today and they get swept by the Astros, tonight's game, the Mets would enter it tied for first place. So despite everything that's gone on over the last few weeks and how badly they have played, if they can get a little bit more help from the Houston Astros, and they've already gotten plenty, so thank you, Houston, the Mets could actually leave tonight's game as a first-place team in the National League East.
Wow. Who would have thought?
Well, I would have thought.
Really? You thought you were going to come back and start beating the Atlanta Braves and the Phillies were going to go on a three-game losing streak?
Yeah, when you put it that way, yes. I did think the Mets would have success against Atlanta. So far, they really haven't. They've won one game out of three. But I certainly looked at the Philly schedule and said, oh, okay, they're playing Houston. They're actually going to go play the Braves this weekend as well. So, yeah, I didn't think it was crazy. I mean, that was one of the positives that despite the Mets' struggles that they've been on, they gave themselves enough wiggle room based on the good start that – they're still right there.
Right.
They were still right there for first place in the National League East. And, yes, if they can get some help today, and they are currently getting it early in Houston, they could actually leave tonight's game as a first-place team. We'll talk to Pete Alonso coming up in about the next 15, 20 minutes or so from the Cadillac Club. We'll also get to your calls at 888-808-1019. Anthony is calling from the Bronx. What's up, Anthony?
Give me some time, fellas. Give me some time, Tiki. And
what's up?
Evan, you know, you got Alonso coming on your station. You know he averages more home runs and RBIs than Mr. Soto in his career? Did you know that?
Well, I would assume so.
He's a more prolific slugger in his career than Juan Soto. Different players, but yes,
right.
More of a home run hitter throughout his career, yes.
And you know something? I got two more quick points, gentlemen. We live in a time where we take good players and make them superstars, and we take mediocre players and make them good players. As a Yankee fan, and this is real talk, Tiki and Evan. Last year, I'm looking at Juan Soto, and I'm saying, for me, we can spend that money more wisely. Now, I'm talking from a different perspective because I've seen 7 championships. Mm-hmm. I've seen guys like Tino Martinez come in here and help us win a chip. I've seen guys like Paul O'Neill come here and help us win a chip. I've seen guys like Reggie Jackson come here and help us win a chip. So my perspective was a little different. Yes, Soto's a good player, and Evan, you mentioned Ted Williams didn't average, though, 26 home runs and 89 RBIs a year and .283 average. So, Ted Williams is probably the greatest all-around hitter.
Well, but Anthony, the context of me using Ted Williams wasn't to say Juan Soto is Ted Williams. Mm-hmm. Is that Juan Soto wants to be Ted Williams.
Yes.
And a part of why I'm not concerned about how he's going to age in his contract is that he clearly has this motivation to go down, whether Anthony agrees or I agree or it doesn't matter, as one of the greatest hitters of all time.
But one of the important things I think Anthony was talking about was all these free agents, these great players that come to New York. They come here and they're remembered because they won championships.
Oh, you got
to
win.
And so Juan Soto, as great as he wants to be, if he wants statistically to be Ted Williams and sit in the annals of greats in Major League Baseball history, for the Mets to say this was a success, he's got to win a championship.
Oh, no,
that's all. That's all Anthony was saying, and he's right about that.
No doubt. Winning is the priority, that's for sure. Let's go to Mike in Clifton. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Evan and Tiki, how are you?
Good, man.
Good, man.
Yeah, long time. Nets, Jets, even a New York set back in the day, 62-year-old retired firefighter, listened to you guys all day. Listen, we got to do something about one thing. We got to give the Nets, the Brooklyn Nets, at least 30 seconds, please.
Okay. 30 seconds of yours, Mike. What do you think? Did that draft not suck, or did it suck?
Listen. The only thing I say is, general manager, he's this international guy. We all know that.
Yes.
We have players from France. We got Jewish players. We got homegrown players.
Yep.
I don't know what his intention is. I don't know his flavor. I guess we don't know that style of play here, other than that the international basketball players in the last 15, 20 years have dominated basketball in this country. So what I'm hoping, but I hope there's more trades down the road. We gotta free up our existing two players there to get rid of, to get more draft revenue. We can't stay with what we have right now.
This is the beginning of a long rebuild. Mm-hmm. And as far as Igor Demin being Russian, mm-hmm. or Nolan Traore being French, or Ben Saraf being an Israeli D'Angelo Russell, I don't care where anybody's from.
Is he?
And no,
is he, though?
Is what? What?
An Israeli D'Angelo Russell?
Well, that's what he's being comped to.
Of course he is, but is he actually that?
I don't know.
Exactly.
By the way,
so
by the way,
stop saying it. Until you see it, don't say it.
Why are you arguing with that?
I'm not, because I hate these things that precede these athletes, and you make them up to be, I don't know, something that they're not.
Yeah, but here's the
And then they
the
come here,
part,
and then they're just average, and they're like, oh, he sucks. He's like, well, maybe that's just who he is.
Here's the funny part, Teague. I want better than the Israeli D'Angelo Russell.
No, I agree.
You act like I just called him the Israeli Will Chamberlain.
I mean,
D'Angelo, but geez, I'm going to throw a party at
I wasn't even talking about the name. I was just talking about the blind comparison to somebody.
My concern, without ever watching any of these guys fully, other than YouTube videos and reading scouting reports, and here's the question I'd ask Sean Marks, can any of them become a superstar?
Mm.
Now, I think that a guy like Drake Powell at North Carolina has a chance to be a really good role player. He's already being compared to as being like an elite defender. And so can he be a useful NBA player? Sure. Maybe they're all going to be useful NBA players. But I think when you're on the ground floor of a rebuild the way the Nets are, we as fans are searching for the hope and how the turnaround's going to look. And it's tough sometimes to imagine guys like Igor Demin or Demin. I got to figure out how it's correctly pronounced.
Where's he from?
He is from Russia but went to BYU for a year. He's a Russian. I don't even know if he's a point guard. Like, I was reading more about him. He's basically all five guys can handle the basketball. All five guys can pass. I think Nolan Traore, the French kid, is probably more of a traditional point guard. But here's the reality. None of us know anything.
You got a United Nations
of
non-superstars.
And I don't care that it's the United Nations. I mean, that's cool and all. I just want the best players.
Yeah, but
that's all we want.
Of anybody that's on the Nets right now, we got the clock ticking again.
Yeah.
Anybody on the Nets right now, existing, hasn't been traded, shipped off, or just got drafted.
Yeah.
Which one of them is the superstar?
Cam Thomas.
Which one of them is potentially winning an MVP?
Cam Thomas is the closest to it. I didn't say he's going to,
right,
by the way. Don't take that out of context.
So unless he develops into that type of player, you're not winning a championship.
Well, forget championship. I just want to be entertained for a few hours.
But what's the point of having all of these draft picks?
We got to build towards
and drafting.
You got to build towards it. Everything's not immediate.
Not trading, not packaging those picks and trading up to get somebody better or trading their good to veteran. You're bringing in all these young projects that you don't know. You're talking about this rebuild. How long is this going to take?
Right now, my estimate is 12 years. If you ask me right now, when?
And I don't even think you're joking.
No, I'm not joking.
12 years?
Okay, maybe I'm joking a little
bit. You're going to be my age by the time this thing happens.
Yeah. No, in all seriousness, probably like 4 or 5 years, which is a long time. Who's got time for that crap?
Let's
go to
next.
Rob in Greenlawn. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. Sounds like you're having a great time there in the Cadillac Club.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And the drinks aren't even flowing yet. Wait till that happens, Rob. Going to get crazy
in Tiki's
tiki.
Element. In Tiki's
exactly.
Element.
Exactly. So. Martini stirred, not shaken.
Gotcha. I had two quick next questions for you, Ev. One is, how are you feeling about it? It's been bugging me all year long that Juan Soto is consistently the last player out of the dugout every inning. It just bothers me. It hurts me. Like, I want to see him lead by example. And the fact that he's the last, he does not warm up between innings at all, ever. And that really, really bothers me when I want him to lead. I want him to be a leader, and leaders don't do that. And my second question is, how excited are you about tonight's bucket hat, like the bucket hat giveaway tonight? You got to be excited about that. My favorite moment on air of you guys the last 2 years is your rant on the giveaways a couple of last year, and they didn't have enough for your kids.
That.
That's my
That's my
Well, Rob, moment. First of all, what an eclectic call. I mean, think about the 2 points he wanted to make. Number one, he wanted to bitch about Juan Soto not getting out the right field early. And number two, how excited am I about the bucket hat? Put it this way. I'm going to tonight's game with my wife. My oldest son, Jed, is coming. We're meeting some friends as well. And I said to my wife, I said, make sure you're here by 6. And she's like, why? I said, we got to get that bucket hat.
Reversible, too.
Reversible. So I'm very excited about the bucket hat. I think it's an awesome giveaway, and I cannot wait to put it on my head. As far as the Soto thing is concerned, are we serious?
How disappointed are you going to be if you don't get one?
Oh, we're getting one. Oh, are you saying my wife's going to be late?
Maybe.
Are you saying she's going to take the train? So no excuse.
You're technically one of the first 10,000 people.
Yeah, but I'm not in here with a ticket. I'm here with a press
credential. But you have a ticket.
I do have a ticket, yes.
Your ticket is on your phone.
That is true, but it's...
Technically, you have a ticket. Somebody here should scan your ticket and give you a bucket hat right now.
I think it works that way.
Why not?
I think you got to wait till the gates open.
I mean...
I'm not above the law, Teak.
I would be.
Why not?
Because I'm not.
Take every advantage you can. Like, when the show ends at 6:30, I think it's going to be too late to get the bucket hat.
You're right.
So, time-wise, I'm kind of screwed. But either way, the family's going to take care of it. It's a beautiful bucket hat. And... Are we serious with this Juan Soto stuff? Like, is that real?
I'm not. I don't mind it.
You don't mind that he jogs out to right field, quote unquote, late?
Yeah, because you know baseball players just stand around half the day, anyways.
He was always the first one out of the dugout with the Yankees.
No, he wasn't. No, that's the funny part. No, he wasn't.
Was he?
Speaking of Soto,
I have no idea.
He doesn't know. I want to play something for you about Juan Soto because again, this could be red meat for people who are Met fans who, for some reason, don't want to love him or Yankee fans. I was listening to the post game last night. Wanted to hear after a win what everybody had to say. And Juan was asked directly, after you hit your second home run, you showed a lot of emotion. Like, he was really emotional after the second home run. And, Connor, if you have the clip, here it is. Juan Soto's answer to why he was so emotional after his second home run.
I know what I was chasing and not about. So, whenever I see the ball going, I feel really emotional right there, you know. Definitely... We're still winning the game, helping the team to keep increasing the lead. But most important for me was, you know, when you look back at what I did and what I've been doing these past years, I think that's really special for me.
So what Juan is telling you is that home run made him the youngest player. Or hold on, let me rephrase this because the record is weird. He's got the most multi-home run games by someone under the age of 27.
Right, and he's got 27 of them.
Yes, what works out beautifully. 27 before 27, and he passes the great double X Jimmy Fox.
Right.
Now, when I heard them mention that record, my reaction is, okay, kind of cool. Doesn't really mean that much to me. Kind of random. Another example.
Never heard it before, by the way.
The multi-home run games before the age of 27.
Yes, exactly. Hey, let's just pick an arbitrary age.
I'm right.
What was it at 25?
You're right. Probably Jimmy Fox or Juan Soto.
I wonder what it is at 30.
That's a great question. I'm sure this will continue. So I heard it, and I was like, okay, whatever. Juan Soto is very into these records.
All right. This is what you were alluding to earlier. I know we talked about it. You can find it if you rewind on the Odyssey app. Evan said that Juan Soto... You know he's not going to turn into a fat slob who doesn't care about his contract because he cares about being great. He cares about chasing the records, and we didn't mention it at the time, but this is how we know.
Yes, and there was something else, and I'm not going to play the audio because it's kind of boring, but last year, Big Mac noticed this too. Juan Soto hit a home run in mid-September during the football season. Who cares? The Yankees have already made the playoffs. Right. He hit a home run in Seattle, and he completed hitting a home run in every ballpark. Now, kind of cool, but who cares?
Right.
After the game, he was like, this was one of my main goals. I wanted to do this, especially before free agency. This means a lot to me. And I remember kind of smirking like, okay, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, whatever.
Like, I'm not judging you. It's just, wow, okay, you're into that stuff. Juan Soto's really into records. And the fact that he got emotional last night.
I don't even
know
if they're records. I think they're just their accomplishments.
Right,
because it's not a record, per se. Because who cares? It's an arbitrary age that we're talking about.
Were you like that?
No, not at all. I mean, if I was like that, I would have played when we were destroying these teams and I could have got another 50 yards and passed 200 and been the most 200-yard rusher in NFL history. I never thought about it. Winning was more important.
Remember that, Pro Football Hall of Fame voters. Remember that. Don't just read stats.
No, they don't care about me right now.
That, That is not a concerning thing, though, that Juan is really into these individuals. Because it doesn't concern me. If anything, it makes me more confident that he's going to really play through this 15-year deal.
That's the takeaway, is that it makes him want to be great. Part of the problem that I have with some athletes, not all athletes, but just some athletes, you see them underachieving, and it's like, damn, do you even care?
Right.
Like, do you want to be great, or do you just want to be here? Right? And being here is fine, but anybody could be here.
You're so right.
If the only people who are going to be great are those that want to be great.
Yeah.
You are what you expect yourself to be. And too many athletes are like, oh, I'm here. I've made it. Like, no, you haven't.
And that brings me to Igor Demin, the Brooklyn Nets number 8 overall pick.
Yes.
He doesn't have a jump shot right now. Okay? Okay.
Great passer, though.
You can develop.
Does that sound like Ben Simmons?
Well, if he doesn't develop a jump shot,
I know,
sure.
I know.
But that's my point.
I'm just saying, Evan, as soon as they drafted him, 6'8", great passer, doesn't have a jump shot.
No, but, but
that's
difference.
A white Ben Simmons.
No, it's only Ben Simmons if he's got the DaVinci sweater on sitting during a playoff game.
But the difference is, and I don't know this about Igor. We obviously know this about Ben. We know this about certain athletes. It's the mentality you have when you get to the pros. Like, how hard are you going to work?
You got to want to be great.
Like, one of my appreciations of Jason Kidd is Jason Kidd was not always the greatest shooter.
Mm-hmm.
He had to work his ass off. He became a great shooter. So I think whether it's someone drafted in the NBA or it's Juan Soto or it's anybody else, it's about the work you're going to put in once you're there. I mean, you know this better than anybody.
Oh, of course. This has been my biggest gripe with Evan Neal. I don't know if he wants to be great.
By the way, how impressive is this? We took Soto working hard. I made it about Igor Demin or Demin. Tiki made it about Evan Neal. Like, we made it about every. You want to throw a hockey one in there, Shawnee?
It's my biggest issue with Alexei Lafreniere last year.
There you go.
Do you want to be great or not?
That's the key now, isn't it?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
We are live from the Cadillac Club on a big Thursday as the Mets get set to take on the Atlanta Braves. Evan and Tiki here till 6:30, and joining us right now, the man that I tried to get a long-term contract. I did everything I could with the beard. But he is here, and hopefully will be here forever, the great Pete Alonso. Pete, thank you very much for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being here. So what do you think so far of your season? You got off to an unbelievable start. Obviously, the team struggles recently. Give me your kind of impression on what you've done so far this year.
Personally, I'm very, very pleased. And I think the biggest thing I'm really the most stoked about is just the consistency. And this is, for me, something that I really worked hard on in the offseason. But once you get into the daily fight, the daily grind of the season, you got to hold on to the discipline, hold on to like the little details in order to keep continuing to compound in good days. So for me, just stoked about the consistency.
What was the biggest difference between previous years and this one, preparation-wise, that allowed you to get off to the start you got off to?
I think for me, I think mechanically last year, like looking at the season as a whole, I just wasn't necessarily my best self every single day. And sometimes it's not about really, I don't know. It's like you do all the work and then like you're so over focused and like you're too zoomed in. And then once like kind of the playoffs came around, it's like, oh, it just clicked. And then it's like, I kind of look back and it's like, okay, I want to be this guy, this version of myself every single day. Cause like when I look at the playoffs, it's like, wow, that's like, that's really in a sense of like who I think I should be, who I think I am as a ball player. And it's like, how do we repeat that every single day? So the workout, the activations and everything, the cage work, everything is like, how do we keep replicating that? Or it's a long season, 162 right. games, but how can I replicate
now,
that?
Now, how hard is that? Because look, as a football player, we're playing once a week. And then we had a bye week in the middle of the season. So it never feels like I was overwhelmed by having to perform. How hard or disciplined does that take to do it every single day?
I mean, there's no secret sauce, but it's the repetitiveness. Mm-hmm. It's like it's in the baseball season that's so difficult. is like it's actually funny because when I'm like, man, Tiki's going to be on the show. Sick. So if I had to explain like 2 weeks of games, so that's 14 games, that's equivalent to one NFL game.
Right.
Which is like, which is if you put that into perspective, it's like.
It's a lot of baseball.
But if you were like in an NFL season, like how many times did you guys end up perfect?
Yeah, very few.
So it's like if you lose right. one game, it's like, okay, we'll bounce back next week. Or right. if we get a bye week, okay, we can regroup and then we'll get back at it. But baseball, it's like 14 games in the baseball season is equivalent to one
right,
game.
So basically you guys just had a week of – you just lost one game.
In
this was
terms,
football.
Yes.
So how did you come out – how do you think about trying to come out of this as a team? Not you individually, but as a
By
team.
By the way, before you continue, yeah. I don't think you understand – you saying that means so much to me. I had a fight with my former co-host yeah. for 2 weeks when I tried to explain, hey, baseball, yep. you know, every game is football. It's like 2 weeks. And he thought I was an idiot. So hearing you on WFA and explain the baseball football equivalence.
It's just a way to relate, Evan.
Thank you. No, no. I made the point for 2 years. I got right. yelled at. Now Pete's made it. Thank you, Pete. Now please continue your question. I apologize.
Now you
that just
me
meant
on
a
track.
Lot to me. The team has been struggling
right,
lately.
They struggled. So you basically lost the game in football terms, but you're starting to turn it around because you won a game last night and it was pretty convincing fashion. But as a team, how do you get through that 2 week period where you're just, man, we suck today?
Well,
or we suck for the last week. How do you get through that?
Well, how you get through it is like you continue to trust in the group. I mean, the talent's undeniable. The group's chemistry, togetherness, the way that we're gelled, the way that we've mm-hmm. stuck together this entire time, it's been great. So, I mean, yes, the past couple weeks haven't been the best, for sure. Yeah, no doubt. But if you look at our overall record, it's like if you were to tell us, like, hey, this is your record. Like, if we were to tell every single person, like, hey, this is what the Mets' record's going to be halfway through the season, you're going to be like, okay, great, awesome, good. Good thumbs up, that's good. But I think for us, it's like we know that there's a lot more meat on the bone left for us, and what we can accomplish is literally, like, the expectations are sky high, but, like, sometimes you need to get punched in the mouth. And for us, like that's what happened, and we want to keep continuing to respond every single day and not take any little moment for granted.
Speaking of being punched in the mouth, and I can't blame you for 1999, you aren't here. Why do the Braves always punch the Mets in the mouth? Going back to 22, going back to this season, why is it always them who are doing the punching?
No one is ever going to remember. I always hear Braves. Braves were a really good team, but there was a week that we played two teams. So the Washington Nationals, I think, won maybe 70 games or less. They won 2 out of 3 against us at home, and then the Chicago Cubs won 73-ish games, and then they swept us.
Yeah.
So. Okay, the Braves, phenomenal team. Like, and if we look back at the scores, it's like, okay, those are like really, really good baseball teams. And it's like, you know what? Sometimes when you get beat, you have to tip your cap. But there's games where, like, hey, maybe against a lackluster team, like
you're talking about 22. Like, you look at those games yeah. more than the Brave games. Is 100%.
100%. And then also, I remember this one game in Oakland. Jacob DeGrom.
Jake got bombed. Remember
yeah,
that? Like, which is rare.
No doubt. No doubt. And it's like, there's so many games where it's like you look back and it's like, I'm not looking at the necessarily Atlanta ones because those are coin flip. Two heavyweight teams going head to head. Anything can happen.
So there's nothing here with the Braves. It's not like there's an intimidation factor or there's something about that building, because even the series last week, maybe it's a slump, but overall, the Braves have had more success against you guys than anybody. You don't think in that room there's any kind of thing about Atlanta and who's in that room and who that team is?
I mean, they got great talent, but again, like, I don't think it's anything more than what it is. Mm-hmm. Again, when you go against good teams, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. I mean, it's legitimately a coin flip, but when you go against lesser opponents, like, for example, I look back in 22 against those two teams, it's like we could have picked up.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
if we split the series at home, we're champagne showering and hosting and hosting a
right.
A DS series right. as opposed right. to a wild card. So, or even if we win one more game, we win one more game. Even if we lost against the Cubs, lost the series instead of get swept. I mean, there's little things throughout the year. It's like, oh, if we didn't give away here in June. Oh, if we didn't give away here in April. When something, we didn't play clean baseball, but sometimes you get beat.
Right. That's got to be mind-numbing to think about a game making that big of a difference. And it
happens all the time. Look at last year.
Of course.
Look at last year.
I would agree with you if it wasn't always the Braves. If it wasn't always them. Yeah, but I think I'd say, sure, you're right. It's a coin flip.
But
they're good.
You said this yesterday, and you're absolutely right.
I said something right yesterday. What was that?
You did. You what said was that? It's circumstance in a sense because of who you faced. Right? Yeah. You had Schwellenbach and you had Strider for four of these games. Right? You've lost five of them. You've had two of their best pitchers twice. So, I mean, some of it is circumstance, and I think that's how you have to look at it.
Right? No
they doubt. They have great players as well.
I mean, yeah, like their starters and then also like Sale, like he had an absolutely spectacular outing and he had his Cy Young stuff. Like he was unbelievable. So like, and as an offense where not all of us were clicking at the right time where it's like, hey, like, big league pitching, like elite big league pitching, is gonna
Let me ask you something about that
happen.
Because Evan and I have talked about this a couple of times. How it feels like the pitching early in the season was so dominant. I mean, you lead in the league in ERA, really team ERA, just including the bullpen, and it felt like, man, the pitching is carrying this team. I know Juan Soto's not hitting, Pete's doing great, but eventually the bats are going to have to wake up. The bats are going to have to take their cues when the pitching kind of falls off a little bit. Do you guys think about that? Like, is there a relationship between, man, he's struggling today, we got to go get some hits?
Well, we got to put up runs every day. It's, I mean, because no matter who we're facing, it can be, I mean, it's the big leagues. Anyone can go get you at any single time. So no matter who we're facing, like, it could be anybody. And they're in the big leagues for a reason because they got the best stuff in the world. Mm-hmm. So, we're motivated to score runs every single day.
Do you think you're getting the same pitches to hit over the last 3 weeks as you got earlier this season?
For me, I think that I think the league is like bearing down a little bit more. Like I've noticed a lot more pitches on the pitchers' pitches on the corners or just off or just on the corner. So. It's just a matter about not sticking to the middle of the plate and capitalizing on mistakes when they do.
But it's also, like, maybe it's because I'm the official defender of Pete Alonso on WFN. I don't know if you know that. But my excuse has been, I don't want to knock your teammates too much. I'll do it. You don't have to say it. You got crap behind you. No one's protecting you, which is why in spring training I said, Pete, they should hit you second. Let Soto hit behind you. Don't you think you would benefit from getting a little bit more protection? No offense to McNeil. He's fine, whatever. But don't you think it would benefit you to get a little bit more protection in your lineup and that my idea was right and you should bat second ahead of Juan Soto?
Well, I mean, I think Jeff has got over a 900 OPS from the second half on. So, like, Jeff's been doing it. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, regardless of where I'm at in the lineup, like, for me, they don't want to miss over the plate because it's like, okay, like, there's, like, for us, it's like, okay, like, me and Juan, no matter where we're at in the lineup, like, they're going to be like, okay, we're not going to allow these guys to put the ball in play because these guys can leave in the park at any time. Like, Francisco's the same way. When Nimmo is hitting the ball like the way he has been, when he's hitting the ball, it's hit hard and far. So it's just how the game is. It's like no pitcher wants to just lay something in the zone because, like, we have a lineup, a deep lineup where, like, if the ball's hit put in play, it's put in play hard, chances are it's probably going to go over the wall.
So just so you know, Evan asked that exact question of Mindy at the beginning of the season, and he looked at him like he had three heads.
Yeah, he didn't like my idea.
He said no flat out.
Yeah. Do you remember what you said? You said you wanted to lead off. That's what you said.
I'd say, hey. Hey.
Have you ever led off in your life?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like an AAU game. Somebody wasn't, like, somebody, like, forgot their jersey, and then their parents, like, went
home. How did you do?
Oh, it was great. I got a first pitch heater and whacked a double. It was great.
I mean, you're right. Maybe you should lead off.
First pitch heater right there.
Hey, team slumps. You may try something like that.
Well, you won't try what Tommy suggested yesterday. Tommy had this wacky idea yesterday to play zone offense with the Mets lineup. So that means either you, Lindor, or Juan Soto hitting leadoff, one of the other two hitting fourth, and the other, last one hitting eighth or seventh.
Yeah, it's a terrible idea, Pete. I know.
Is that a terrible idea as everybody thought it was yesterday, or is there some merit to it? Nobody would have thought that, like, Shohei Ohtani would be leading off.
Now, Pete, before you answer, I'm Tommy. Yeah. So, just know before you answer. So, when Evan says he hates it, he means he secretly likes it.
No, I don't.
Tiki loved the idea yesterday.
I was like, why not?
You just said you led off before, and this isn't knocking anybody. I'm positive, Tommy. It's just about spreading out. It's not knocking anyone. It's just about seeking a problem and finding a solution.
It sounded different when he was.
I'm an idea
Pete
man.
Pete, you're allowed to punch him if you want.
I thrive on enthusiasm, Pete. Come on. He's speechless. Is that a good thing?
No.
Oh, damn.
I have no words.
No words?
No words.
It's that dumb.
That's never been suggested, ever.
Maybe just take a little time. Can you pass it along to Mendy for me? Just say, there's this idea. You spread the four best hitters out throughout the lineup. That way, every inning, you have one of your best hitters.
It's not going to work,
you
Tommy.
Get to lead
you
off.
You got
to
give this one up. You got to pass this one out.
Just give him a time to think.
No.
No? Not even a maybe?
Hard no.
Thank you very much. We're talking to Pete Alonso from the Cadillac Club as the Mets get set to take on the Atlanta Braves. The last few games, you have made incredible plays. You made a diving play the other night, perfect throw to the pitcher covering. For that little stretch where you had the miscue throws, including the one to Senga, was it ever getting mental or was it just a defensive slump? How do you explain what was going on for that stretch?
For me, the one in New York, I mean, I just zoot it, you know, and sometimes it happens. I probably watched like every angle, like in slow motion. I'm like, yeah, my feet were set, my arm angle was good, and then I just zoot it,
right?
Which happens, unfortunately, and in that spot, it's going to be amplified, and that was a big moment. Just zoot a routine play. The one to Stanek, I think for me, I could have done a little bit better job of setting my feet. I didn't set my feet there. It's like, okay, that one, it's like, okay, could have set my feet. Senga, that was a tough play in the hole, and I just had to get it to him. He's an athletic guy. So I'm like, okay, get the ball to like his chest area, and then he made a hell of a play. I think, yeah, it's just a matter about sticking to it, sticking to the routines, even though things didn't go right a couple times. But, again, you just stick to the routine, trust the work that you put in.
When he got hurt, you were emotionally broke up a little bit about it, looked like it on the field. But afterwards, at least from what we heard, his interpreter came and said he probably pulled it running over. Did that make a difference to you?
No.
No.
No, because, I mean, just being involved and, like, knowing that kind of, like, just being involved in it, knowing that it wasn't a perfect throw, it's like I just still feel, and also I feel bad because like last year he was grinding, grinding to get back healthy, and something similar happened where like he was back and then he was hurt and then he came back for the postseason, thankfully. But
right.
Yeah, just from what he's been through at a personal level, like being missing a ton of time last year with stuff, and then it's like I just hate to see that for him.
But your confidence throwing to first base, all good right now?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah,
good. You are about to become a father in a few months.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Congrats,
man. Thank you.
Have you started breaking down, all right, if the baby's born on this date, I got to get on a plane here.
Wait, do you know the sex?
Yeah, it's going to be a boy.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
You can't tell us the name. That's bad luck.
No, I can't do that. Do you have a name?
I mean, we probably have a laundry list full.
Yes.
Like, we're probably just going to end up waiting till he gets here.
If you want to go with Evan, I approve it.
Oh, God, fine. Thank you.
He's going to say, it looks like me, Junior. He's Junior.
Have you thought about the arrival date and where it may fall on the calendar and everything around that?
Yeah. Yeah, I have. Yeah, hopefully we can thread a needle. I mean, hopefully. But again, like, there's a thing where it's like, okay, like, man makes plan, God laughs. So we'll see. We'll take it as it come. I mean, the number one thing I just want first and foremost, I want the safety of,
absolutely,
of my wife and safety of the child. I mean, that's number 1A and 1B priority right there. So however the timing and whatever unfolds, like, I mean, it's going to work out. I'm a firm believer that it's going to work out.
100%. Will you be a New York Met for life, Pete?
We'll see. I mean, I love it here. Like, everyone's treated my family so well. Like, the personnel has been, like, obviously awesome. Like, I've grown up here in this organization. Like, and for me, understanding the responsibility of playing in New York, like, I've embraced that. And also, like, last year, like, experiencing the playoffs and relishing in that experience here, like, that is, like, that is the pinnacle of big time baseball. And no, I love it. And I hope that the, you know what, here, call David, call Steve.
I'm like, trying. Yeah,
if you want to negotiate, here.
I heard Scott's very tough to negotiate with, though. I don't know if I can.
Wait, have you and Scott had that conversation about the opt-out, or when will you have that conversation?
Whenever the season's over, however it unfolds. But for me,
so like, no talks now.
No. We just play ball. Focus on winning. That's really it.
Yeah, you were teammates with this guy for a while. I'm just curious, if the Rangers continue to struggle, and dear Jacob DeGrom becomes available, knowing him, do you think he'd waive his no trade to come back to New York?
He almost fits a no.
No, I know, but the Texas Rangers still stink. Do you, knowing him, because that's the real key to this? Do you think he would want to come back? Be honest with me. I'll take it however you say it.
Well, I mean, he has, like, he's a guy who grew up here. But again, like, this is all, like, hypothetical stuff. And that's a decision that him and his family have to make, like, if that's something your organization does. But hopefully, I just want what's best for Jake. And I mean, right now he's pitching unbelievable. Like, there's nothing more than I want for him to win his third Cy Young and pretty much punch his ticket to Cooperstown. He's an unbelievable dude. And for him missing time with the surgery, like, and being away from the game, like, I think he's really motivated and really invigorated with this opportunity he has. And I just hope wherever he ends up, no matter what jersey, I just hope he keeps shoving. Like, because
he's been great.
Yeah. I mean, he's an unbelievable dude, great teammate, and yeah, I hope he wins a Cy Young this year.
When are you gonna break Darryl's home run record? You've hit one home run in 15 games. I say that with love. You know,
yes.
I love you.
No,
we got to
sure.
get this thing going. When are we gonna break this record?
Whenever pitchers keep leaving the ball out over the plate. whenever I get pitches to hit, you know what I'm saying?
And lay off the sliders off the plate.
You know what?
I've noticed you chasing recently.
Oh, you're a great coach.
Yeah.
Andy.
Aren't I a good coach?
You're amazing.
Just lay off those
so
pitches.
Good, especially like when they look right down the middle until they're not. It's really okay. Got it. Thanks. Appreciate you,
Pete. Man, thank we you. Love you.
Yeah.
I want you to be a Met for life.
Appreciate
and I want
that.
You to hit a home run tonight. All
thank
right.
You.
It'll make us feel like we contributed to it.
That's
all right?
Honestly like one. That's it. If you want me to break the record, you're only saying, you can get one. That's crazy.
Fine. Hit me three tonight, Pete.
I haven't done it in a big league career yet. That's what I'm talking about.
There you go. That's what I want to see. Thank you, Pete. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Pete Alonso, live from the Cadillac Club. Quick break. We'll get back to your phone calls. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.